This is your host, Tom Kelly, welcoming you again to the Proctor Podcast, and episode 5 of Where's My Fortune Cookie, co-authored by Phil Proctor and Brad Schreiber. Today, Phil learns how to edit, thanks to his radio idols, Bob and Ray, gets guidance from the great French filmmaker, Jacques Tati, while facing the challenges of boarding school and adolescence at Riverdale Country School in the Bronx, and almost loses his life on vacation in Wales. Now, episode 5 of Where's My Fortune Cookie?
I had the equipment, and with Ernie Kovacs on the television and Bob and Ray on radio, I had guys I admired, recorded, memorized, and imitated. While much of Kovacs' material was visually clever, I loved his wormy, goofy voice of Percy Dove Tonsils and taping his wacky musical numbers, which included a German version of How Much Is That Doggy in the Window, accompanied by the Eddie Hatrack Trio and sung by his future wife, Edie Adams. Wie viel ist das Hund in das Fenster, raff, raff, die ein mit dem fahrlichen Scheiß. And when we purchased a recorder with a built-in radio, it was even easier to tape the slyly, hilarious routines of Bob and Ray. My agenda was to get up for school around 6 in the morning, leave at 7, play in the orchestra, go to my other classes, come home after 4 p.m. to practice violin, do homework, and eat dinner. Bob and Ray had a 3-hour morning show from 6 to 9 on WINS in New York. I listened to the first hour and had Mom tape the rest, studiously avoiding the commercials. What a great mom. My interest in tape editing started with the use of scissors and scotch tape to snip out and put together my favorite B&R bits, eventually progressing to the use of proper equipment. I particularly loved it when the boys would crack up the otherwise deep-voiced and professional news anchor, Peter Roberts, by climbing onto the table and setting his news copy on fire while he read it, or untying his shoes and taking them off while he tried to tell New York City about the latest disaster. Roberts had a funny, infectious, eccentric laugh, and once they got him going, he could not stop, despite it being a live broadcast. Bob and Ray were also the start of my comedy writing career. I would send them postcards and sometimes had the thrill of hearing them read on the air. I remember ending one card with, "Get well soon," and they loved it. I do regret, however, that as a preteen, I was too shy to show up at the studio to watch them work live. I was also an avid fan of EC comic books and had a subscription to all their works, but I was especially fond of Mad and Panic. Several letters showed up in their readers' comments section from Yours Untruly. I guess you could say that this was also my true immersion into the science fiction, fantasy, and horror genres, the latter of which became the target of a 1954 congressional committee hearing, and inspired me to write a letter to the senators in which I expressed my belief that these were nothing more than ghost stories and would certainly not turn kids like me into juvenile delinquents. Meanwhile, I became the best producer and engineer in our building. I went to an office building in the West 40s called Major Sound Effects, run by a guy named Valentino. He had a vast 78 RPM library of sound effects records, and I'd buy a couple at a time, put them on my record player at home, tape them, and cut them into other stuff, creating my own absurd soundscapes. For example, I created a parody of a Knickerbocker beer commercial. The actual spot opened with an announcer saying, "Knock, knock for Knickerbocker," followed by a rhythmical series of knocks. But I replaced the last knock with the sound of a juicy fist punch, followed by a body falling, knocking over everything you could possibly imagine. To my pre-adolescent mind, nothing could be more fun than creating a wacky sound collage. Girls could wait. Take a ticket. I enjoyed playing all the parts and designing all the effects in the creation of these audio bits. And while I would work for many different directors in my career, I guess the reason I always came back to Firesign was that old quality control issue. Namely, you can't guarantee the quality of your work unless you have control over it. This was a lesson first expressed to me by the great French comedy film actor-director Jacques Tati, whom I met when my father helped him raise funds for his next film. I recall the towering Monsieur Tati stretched out on his Manhattan hotel room bed, saying in his charming French accent, which I later evoked when playing the drunken French monkey in Eddie Murphy's Dr. Dolittle film series, "Philippe, if you want to be in the movies, you must write and direct your own film. You know, if you say, 'It's funny with the mustache,' the director say, 'No, it's not funny with the mustache. Take off the mustache.' You say, 'But no, it's funny with the mustache.' He say, 'No, it's not funny. Take it off.' You have to take it off because he is director. If you are the director, you know it's funny with the mustache. You wear the mustache.